Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. at 7 p.m. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. Because we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. And before that, we will have a prayer. I'd like to expand to on with you about a Thanksgiving prayer. A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case Christ Bible Study, Psalms 100 describes this prayer, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, to be over.
to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge my guest online. God bless you, Deaconess Valerie Bolden. How are you this evening?
Good. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise be to God.
I'm fine. Just I got a little allergy. I got to find out where it's coming from. It could be the cat. I took my 2 COVID tests, so it's not COVID.
Well, not necessarily. It could be the pollen in the air. It could be the dust. It could be just about anything. Not necessarily it has to be your cat.
Yeah, I hope it's not the cat, because I am allergic to the cat, but he hasn't been bothering me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, we are now going into the season of allergies.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you do what you have to do. There's a lot of over-the-counter allergy products that you could take that could keep it a little bit under control. Because I know sometimes I have to get the Benadryl for the itching, and it's the allergies drive you crazy. You wake up in the morning.
I want to beat myself up. I just went to the store and forgot to get that. I went in specifically for that. Came out with some milk from my coffee and forgot about that.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry. Hopefully you'll be able to go back out and get it before it gets dark.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, at this time, I'm going to play another selection.
Okay.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
Father in heaven, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. I choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you placed in my heart. I trust you today with everything that I am. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So at this time, I will play another selection by our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins, A Family That Prays Together, Stays Together. Amen.
Blah.
time yet for our Heavenly Father. Dear God, we want to thank you for all of those things you do that we never see, helping us get through the night, each day, keeping us safely, making sure our family is protected, and all of the other countless blessings you bestow upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with our devotional message for this evening to praise God.
Pour out my heart, Lord,
at your feet.
God, hear my prayer, O Lord. Okay, it is now time for our devotional message, which is entitled, Do Not Hesitate to Receive Joy from Me. Praise be to God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, from the NASB Bible. And it says, But we all, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Praise God. My second scripture for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And it says, So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Amen. The third scripture for this message is coming from Psalms 46 and 10. And it says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is Do Not Hesitate to Receive Joy from Me. For I bestowed it upon you abundantly. The more you rest in my presence, the more freely my blessings flow into you. In the light of my love, you are gradually transformed from glory to glory. It is through spending time with me that you realize how wide and long and high and deep is my love for you. Sometimes the relationship I offer you seems too good to be true. I pour my very life into you, and all you have to do is receive me. In a world characterized by working and taking, the admonition to rest and receive seems too easy. There is a close connection between receiving and believing. As you trust me more and more, you are able to receive me and my blessings abundantly. Be still and know that I am God. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. So let us be still and know that God is. So again, at this time, I will say a short prayer. Jehovah, with you, I can do all things because you are my strength. I praise you for the power and provide to those who place their trust in you. Because of you, I'm able to do that which I cannot on my own. You ask me to be strong and courageous, and you even become my strength as I engage in battles. You will never leave me, nor will you forsake me. I lift up your name in praise and admiration for being my strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection. My help comes from the Lord.
Sail not mighty by day. I have no other hope but you. don't know how, but my God will deliver me.
Amen. Jehovah Rapha, in your word, you told the Israelites that if they worship you as their Lord and God, you would bless their bread and water and take sickness away from them. I lift your name in praise and admiration because you are the ultimate caregiver. With just one word, you can remove sickness, reverse diseases, and bring healing in the cells of our bodies. You hold the ultimate power in your hands. We may look to physicians or to medicine to heal us, but you have the final say. I praise you for your power and for your willingness and ability to heal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, hopefully our speaker will be here with us at 7 p.m. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Jehovah, I never need to fear because you are with me. Neither do I need to be dismayed because you are my God. You strengthen me and help me, upholding me with your righteous right hand. In you, I find all I need to fully live out my destiny. Thank you for being my strength. But even greater than that, thank you for the peace I have knowing I can rest in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. We have 2 minutes and, well, 1 minute, 57 minutes before our speaker arrives. So in the meantime, I will play a short selection, Prayer Changes Things. Amen. Could be stuck in traffic or whatever the case may be. So at this time, we just can't hurry God.
Just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh,
well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry God. Oh no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time.
Ooh.
God is the way maker.
Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing?
Blessed, thank you.
All right, great.
Amen.
You ready to get started?
Yes.
All right. Do we have anyone else on the line?
Yes, we have Deaconess Bolden.
Amen. Good evening. How you doing?
Good evening, Sister Barbara. How are you?
Welcome back. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Yes, I'm right.
So we're going to get started in prayer. I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah, that's Valerie's phone.
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again. Give your humble servant the kingdom to give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Lord, we thank you for the snow. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. Thank you for the change in the weather. We thank you for life, health, breath, strength. God, we thank you for you, for your precious son. And Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So God, bless everyone that's on this line. Bless them in their coming and in their going. See to their needs, Father God, as I know you will, whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritually, relationally, whatever way that they need you, Lord, and that's in all ways. So we just thank you right now. Bless their families. Bless them in all that they do, Lord. And please remind them to put you first in everything as we go about doing this thing called living life.
Yeah.
So God, again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Thank you for everything. We love you. We adore you. We can do nothing without you.
Mm-hmm.
All these blessings. Forgive us of our sins. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. All right. So we're going to pick up where we left off. This is on page 276. We almost finished with the...
Yeah, I'm going to put Valerie on mute because, you know, the echo is feeding back. So when you need to ask her a question, I'll unmute her. Okay, Val?
Okay, good.
Yes, I heard you.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is still talking about the pre-incarnate Christ, and this is the last page, and a few scriptures on this page that we did not get into, and this is part two of the section three, the activity of the pre-incarnate Christ. We talked about the activity, his activity as creator, his activity as angel. And now we're in number two, his ministries as angel of Yahweh. Okay, this is under angels. So, number one, he often acted as messenger. Did I read this? Did we go into the scriptures for this?
Yeah, we're at C.
Okay, all right, because I know it's a lot of scriptures. Okay,
yeah,
excuse me.
We did all the scriptures last week.
Okay, so we're going to go into C,
mm-hmm.
pardon me. But I will read it, even though we're not going to read the scriptures, as his ministries as angel of Yahweh. He often acted as messenger to various people. He guided and protected Israel. We see a lot of that in Exodus. He was the instrument of judgment on Israel when God sent a pestilence on the people, and we see that in First Chronicles. And number four, he was the agent of refreshment to Elijah, First King. And now the right section C in the final portion, his other activities. No other historical activities of Christ are revealed as happening in his pre-incarnate state. What does that mean? You can unmute Val if you want to.
Yeah, let me unmute her so she can answer. Okay.
That's both of you, I'm saying. You can unmute her. If she doesn't have anything to say, then you can mute her again. That's all I'm saying.
No, she's unmuted.
I'm unmuted. Okay, good evening. Okay. Yeah, I have on my mission board every day to fight the good fight. And it's a new thing that I started a mission board.
Valerie, we're talking about the book right now. We're not talking about anything outside of that.
Oh, okay. Well, the scriptures just felt like security to me. And I didn't really catch on to your meaning or what you want me to describe.
I'll say it again. His other activities, and we're talking about Christ. And
right.
The opening sentence of this section is, no other historical activities of Christ are revealed as happening in his pre-incarnate state. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, yes, a lot of things that Christ did cannot be imitated by man or performed, or, you know, man cannot bring to pass everything that Christ has did, because even though Christ was made, became a man, his abilities were much more than men, and a lot of things can't, you know, even in his predestined time.
Okay, Vandalus Hilda, what does that mean to you?
It's saying like no other historical activities of Christ are revealed as happening in his pre-incarnate state. So there's no more activities until he come in the flesh. So right now, all activities has ceased until he comes in the flesh, and then he comes to do his ministry, pick the disciples and everybody.
Okay, well, this is saying that no other activities of Christ are revealed as happening in his pre-incarnate state before he became incarnated.
Right.
And what does incarnate mean, or incarnate? What does that mean?
An incarnate before, no, that's pre-incarnated is before he was created, and I had it written down.
Before he was made flesh is pre-incarnate.
Right.
He was always here, so he wasn't created. He was always here. So what does incarnate mean, Valerie?
I would have to look it up, but I would assume that his coming back again.
No.
Yeah, a person who embodies in the flesh a deity, spirit, or abstract quality. So in other words, that the embodiment of God the Son in human flesh as Jesus Christ.
So put that in your own words.
So now God is coming down to earth through the Virgin as a human. Or coming in the flesh. So, in other words, he's no longer going to be a spirit down here. He's going to be in human flesh.
All right, great. So in other words, before he was shown in the flesh, that's what incarnate means. Incarnate means to be born. Simple, not, you know, it's not all that complicated, but I guess it is if you don't know what it means. But anyway, for him to be born. So I will continue. His work as Messiah required the incarnation, though it was predicted in the Old Testament. Likewise, his work as Savior necessitated the incarnation. The Old Testament does not give specific revelation of the second person as Savior, only God as Savior. To have done so would also have required an Old Testament revelation of the Trinity. Rather, that period is called the times of ignorance, Acts 17 and 30. So, Daniel Matilda, would you get Acts 17 and 30?
Sure. I thought it would be better going backwards, but then there ain't no better.
Okay, together, backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Or in the middle.
So, okay, 17 and 30 says that God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. Amen.
All right. Amen. Anything you want to expound on, or shall we just keep going?
Keep going.
Amen. Okay. And the last part. Though our Lord was not inactive in his pre-incarnate state, his greatest works necessitated the incarnation. Nevertheless, he stands magnificent in his person as the eternal God, but as it were, in the shadows, waiting the spotlight of the incarnation to reveal his glory and grace. John 1 and 17 and Titus 2 and 11. Sister Val, would you get John 1 and 17? And Evangelist Hill to get Titus 2 and 11.
Okay.
Okay, I have it.
Okay.
I read John 1:17.
Yeah, please.
Okay, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Mine says, we got the basics from Moses, which is the law, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. Wow. What do you think about that, Evangelist? I mean, first event, Valerie.
Well, it puts me in the mind with what's been preached for the last couple of weeks about Abraham receiving salvation through or justification through his faith. And, yeah, could, and, you know, we had to get past just the law. And Jesus gave us grace and truth and justification by faith.
Okay, great. Thank you. Evangelist, do you have anything to add to that before you read Titus?
Nope.
Titus 2 and 11, then? Thank you.
Okay. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Amen.
Amen. Thoughts about that?
Let's see. Well, basically, they were talking about the right living in the church. So since we weren't living right, so when Christ came, well, for the grace of God has been revealed, so which was bringing salvation to all people.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can
okay.
be righteous and live right.
Okay. All right. And the message says, and it goes 11 to 14, I won't read all of it. It says, God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation's available for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life.
Mm-hmm.
This new life is starting right now and is whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. He offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Talk absolutely. About that salvation.
Yeah.
Valerie, you have any thoughts about that before we go to the next chapter, chapter 41?
No, that was beautiful. Yeah.
Salvation. He brings salvation.
So now we go into chapter 41, talking about the incarnation of Christ. What did, Valerie, what did Evangelist Hilda say incarnation is, basically?
Well, she was talking about it being a deity, a great spirit.
It's deity.
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 Yes, greatness of the body and spirit.
What's that? Say
well,
that again. What is that?
Well, I think you said it's like a birthing of a, you know, person or spirit.
To be born.
Yes.
Yeah, not so much the spirit, but now to be born in the flesh.
Yeah, to become human.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the pre-incarnate Christ was what? Was he flesh or was he spirit?
No.
Or
spirit.
Wait a minute. Wait, Hilda. Let her
say something.
Sorry. No problem.
Well, you're saying we're talking about the flesh, like a man being born.
Was the pre-incarnate Jesus flesh or spirit?
Flesh, according to what you're teaching us.
He was flesh?
What, isn't that what you're saying, according to what you're saying?
I said the pre-incarnate. The pre-incarnate.
Before
right.
he was born, he's a spirit.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay? And the incarnate Christ is what?
A flesh.
Amen. You got it? Now let's see if you can keep it, okay? The incarnation of Christ. Number one, the meaning of incarnation. Though the word itself does not appear in Scripture, is components in and flesh do. So they're saying that word does not appear in Scripture. The components do. John wrote that the word became flesh in John 1 and 14. He also wrote of Jesus coming in the flesh in 1 John 4, 2 and 2. In 2 John, rather, 7. By this he meant that the eternal second person of the Trinity took on himself humanity. Mm-hmm. I'll read that line again. By this, he meant that the eternal second person of the Trinity took on himself humanity. And can that be summarized by either one of you in one word?
The Spirit was made flesh. Yes.
Two words.
By this, he meant that eternal second person. Jesus was.
Evangelist, you don't have to read it to me again.
Now,
all I want is an answer.
I'm reading it for me.
Hearing it. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You don't have to reread it. You really have to listen the first time. That'll help.
Well, you read so fast. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I read it too fast. I apologize. Go on. Do it your way. Go on.
It's all right. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity.
Amen. So this is saying that took on himself humanity. What does that mean?
He became human.
He became incarnate. That's what I'm looking for. He became incarnate, which is human. He came in the flesh, right?
Okay.
He did not possess humanity.
Mm-hmm.
He did not possess humanity until the birth. Since the Lord became flesh, egnito, that's E-G-E-N-E-T-O, egnito, John 1:14, in contrast to the four occurrences of N-E-N in verses 1-2. However, his humanity was sinless, a fact Paul guards by writing that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. We see that in Romans 8:3. Any thoughts about what was just read before we look at the scriptures?
No.
Valerie?
I just the word of God says the Spirit was made fresh.
Right. Okay, let's take a look at John 1:14. Valerie, look at that.
John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay. The scripture keeps talking grace and truth also. Not law, but grace.
Mm-hmm. And so the word was first, the word present to God, God present to the word, and the word was God in readiness for him from day one. Is there another word for the glory,
Heaven. Another word for?
For the word.
For the word? The word of the word is Jesus. It's the part of the Trinity.
Thank you. Okay, Evangelist, let's look at 1 John 4:2.
Okay. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was told, that like if you're dreaming and you see a spirit and you ask the spirit, did Jesus come in the flesh? And if they tell you no, then you know that is a false prophet.
Mm-hmm. You got a lot of background noise. You going to mute that, Evangelist Children?
Yeah. Mute me. Mute me.
Okay.
Okay, and so John 4 and 2 says, here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And now let's look at 2 John and verse 7. You want to read that?
Okay. Second John 7. Oh, it's so short. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's what you just
Amen.
Read. Amen.
Yep. And this is saying there are a lot of smooth-talking charlatans loose
oh,
in
yeah.
the world who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ was truly human,
mm-hmm.
a flesh and blood human being. Give them their true title, deceiver, antichrist. All right?
Amen.
And then the next scripture, well, Valerie read John 1 and 14. We don't have to reread that.
Oh,
but
okay.
we're going to go to Romans 8 and 3. Valerie, you there?
Wait, I got her on mute.
Yes, I am. What did you say? Romans what?
8 and 3.
8 and 3?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
All right. One second.
Mm-hmm.
I really have to get a Bible that has the things on it because it takes me too long to find this.
That has
okay, Romans 8 and 3 reads, for what the Lord could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son and the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's move right along. Any thoughts before we go to section two?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead, Val.
No, I didn't have any thoughts.
Oh. Well,
yeah, that's so good. You know, God, you know, gave us a solution. He gave us Christ. He gave us Jesus because we couldn't do it. We still can't do it without Jesus.
Amen.
But we got a way now.
Mm-hmm.
We got
because he is our salvation. But anyway, he, I think because Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice because they were sacrificing, you know, too many animals, and some of the people, like, they felt that it was okay to, you know, sin, and then one day out of the whole year, you go and sacrifice the poor animal to for forgiveness. So Jesus came down to be the final sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and too, like Paul, it's like we can't do it in our own will, you know. We can't follow this law, even though we want to. That what we do,
we would not, and what we would do, what we would not do, we do. So, yeah, we have grace. Jesus brought us grace and his and mercy.
Yep.
Right. And Jesus came because, as Evangelist Hilda said, he was the final sacrifice. When he was sacrificing bulls and doves and
goats,
whatever else, mm-hmm. they had to do that periodically.
Right.
You know, they had to do it all the time
yeah.
in order to show that they were asking forgiveness and, I guess, truly meaning what they were saying, atoning for their sins,
yeah.
right? But when
not
mm-hmm.
only that, Adam wasn't the only one who tried to sacrifice his son. You know, it was a human sacrifice also.
But
well,
Jesus
that
came,
was pagans that were sacrificing their children to their pagan gods.
When Jesus came, he was the final sacrifice for those back then,
mm-hmm.
for us, and for those who have not even been thought about being born yet.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So he said, when he was crucified, he said, it is finished.
Yep.
No more sacrificial slaughtering of animals or children or
anything.
Birds. This is it.
Yes.
This is it. I am the propitiation.
Mm-hmm.
I am the substitution for all sacrifices, for all sinners.
Amen.
Amen. I took it upon myself. Me, I sinned this person. I took your sins upon myself.
Yes.
So that you won't have to continue to slaughter and, you know, kill.
Right.
Amen. So section two, the predictions of incarnation. A, prediction of the God-man. Who is the God-man?
Jesus.
All right.
If we're on board with that one.
That's right. What'd you say?
I said we're on point with that one.
There you go. There you go. Now, section A. A prediction of the God-man. In this prophecy concerning Messiah in Isaiah 9 and 6, Isaiah foretold the union of deity and humanity in him.
Mm-hmm.
He said that a child would be born, a reference to humanity, and that his character would be such that he may be designated as the mighty God, El Gibor, a reference to deity. Isaiah uses El only in reference to God, see 31 and 3. Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R, means hero, H-E-R-O, hero. Thus, the phrase means a hero whose chief characteristic is that he is God. Wow.
Mm. Wow, that is
chief characteristic.
Yes.
Thus, in this single verse, both the humanity and deity of our Lord are predicted. So let's take a look at Isaiah 9 and 6, Evangelist Hilda.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Valerie, you're going to get 31 and 3, Isaiah 31 and 3, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, when a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Praise be to God. He is our everything.
Thank you.
Amen. Something up right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We lost Valerie. I guess she'll come back in before 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's look at Isaiah 31 and 3. Sorry about that.
Okay. Isaiah 31 too far, and then I go too little. From 31 and 3?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. For these Egyptians are mere humans, not God. Their horses are puny flesh, not mighty spirits. When the Lord raises his fist against them, those who help will stumble, and those being helped will fall. They will all fall down and die together. Whoa. Because they're just idols. They're not even, you know, gods. They're just things.
Excuse me.
But the Egyptians, they worship anything.
Yeah, they had a lot of gods. Let me read 31, starting at 1 through 3.
Okay.
It says, impressed by military mathematics, doomed to those who go off to Egypt, thinking that horses can help them, impressed by military mathematics, awed by sheer numbers of chariots and riders, and to the Holy of Israel, not even a glance, not so much as a prayer to God. Still, he must be reckoned with, a most wise God who knows what he's doing. He can call down catastrophe. He's a God who does what he says. He intervenes in the work of those who do wrong, stands up against interfering evildoers. Egyptians are mortal, not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. When God gives the signal, helpers and helped alike will fall in a heap and share the same dirt grave.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
They were just, you know, selfish.
They will die.
Yeah.
When God gives a signal. When he says so, that's what's going to happen. So,
yes.
Thus, the phrase means a hero whose chief characteristic is that he is God. Thus, in this single verse, both the humanity and deity of our Lord are predicted. The name Emmanuel reveals the same truth about the Lord. You see that in Isaiah 7 and 14. You want to get that?
Okay.
This means more than God's presence with his people in his providential dealings. It means in this text that the very presence of the virgin-born child brings God to his people. So
yeah.
This is Isaiah 7 and 14.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 7 and 14 says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen.
Right. So what does Emmanuel mean?
God is with us.
All right. So can you explain that?
What, God is with us?
Yeah, the whole concept.
Well, God is sending his son down to earth to be born, to be conceived by a virgin, and she will give birth to him, and we will, and you know, even though he told us to and his name will be called Emmanuel, which Emmanuel means, like, you know, wonderful counselor, and God is with us. So it's like he's everything. He's going to be everything to us. It's up to us to accept him as
as our Lord and Savior.
Okay, all right. So Emmanuel means God with us.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, he came down in the flesh, born to a Virgin Mary, whose father is the Holy Spirit, not his earthly father, Joseph.
Right, right.
And he is God with us. He came down in the body of a man, but he's both deity and human. A lot of people cannot wrap their brains around that. How can he be God and man?
Because
that's what he said.
He's all everything. So he can
be whatever he
wants to be.
He's that because that's what he told us he is.
Yes.
So we could argue, we could debate, we could say it's not logical, it doesn't make sense, that's what he said he is, and that's what it is.
Exactly.
Whether we understand it or not, that's what it is.
Because it's in the scripture.
Okay.
Once it's in his word, it's in the scripture, then that's what we're supposed to believe and live by.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because it's right here in his word.
Right.
You can't dispute the word, but then some people do because they say man wrote the Bible.
And they say it doesn't make any sense.
Right. To them it doesn't make any sense because they don't know who he is. If they knew who he was, they would not dispute it.
Right.
That's why you say to study, to show thyself approved.
Right. A workman that needeth not be ashamed.
Amen.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent, excellent. So let's go on with section B.
Mm-hmm.
Prediction of the virgin birth, and we see that in Isaiah 7 and 14, which was already read, so we're not going to have to do that again. And it's talked about, and this prophecy, Isaiah foretold the means of the incarnation as being a virgin birth.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals have challenged the translation virgin for the Hebrew word Alma, A-L-M-A-H,
mm-hmm.
stating that Methuselah should have been used if Isaiah unmistakably meant virgin. It is true that Alma means a sexual, a sexually mature, marriageable maiden, and Bethulah means a separated woman, usually a virgin, but not always. And we see that in Esther 2:17. Ezekiel 23:3, Joel 1:8. Thus, it is not true to say, as the critics do, that Bethulah would have been a more precise word to use if Isaiah clearly meant virgin. Any thoughts about that?
Oh, it sounds complicated, but I'm sure it's not. But, I mean, like, they want to say that, I guess, Mary wasn't the only virgin in the village. But Mary was the one that God chose.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's take a look at Esther 2 and 17. That's after Nehemiah.
Seventeen, ten,
that was Esther
2:17.
Oh, 2:17. Oh, and the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen as queen instead of, what's her name, Vashti?
Vashti. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vashti.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the reason why he, yeah, the reason why he wanted Esther, because number one, Esther was beautiful, but Esther was not like the rest of the young maidens, because they were more about, you know, material stuff, and Esther wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
And the king, well, she, I mean, like, when she went to him, she went with just one little piece of jewelry, where all the rest of them had so much jewelry on them that they, you know, couldn't even hardly walk, because they wanted
really?
To impress the king.
Where'd you see that?
Okay. I saw that in the movies.
I figured. Uh-huh. Okay. Because I never saw that. And I read this up many times. I never saw that. But okay. Ezekiel 23:3. And so one thing they do say about the book of Esther is what? Say about it?
No.
That there's no God in it. That they don't see God in it.
How they not see God in it? Who they think
because
is?
Because they don't. Because they don't mention His name.
Oh.
His name is not mentioned.
Okay.
But He's there because of the miracles that He performed, right?
Exactly. He's
so
in
His
the
name is not mentioned. His name is not mentioned, but the fact that the Jews were allowed to not be, what do you call it, extinct,
mm-hmm.
all right, to be killed. That in itself is a miracle, and that in itself is God.
Exactly.
So we don't see the name of God mentioned, and that's true. Just upon, you know, reading it, you don't see His name mentioned. But if you dig a little deeper, you can mm-hmm. understand that His ways, I talked about things that nobody else could have done, which was save the Jews.
Exactly.
Because if Haman had his way, they would have all been wiped out. And that would have meant that the lineage of Jesus Christ would have been interrupted.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. So let's look at 23. Hmm.
I said they had to stay alive because that's where the Messiah came from.
That lineage, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at Ezekiel 23:3.
Okay. They became prostitutes in Egypt. Even as young girls, they allowed men to fondle their breasts. OMG.
Hmm.
Oh, this is.
Go on.
No, I was saying that the title of this chapter was the adultery of two sisters.
Okay. And so mine is entitled, thank you, Wild with Lust, and it goes from 1-4. It says, God's message came to me. Son of man, there were two women, daughters of the same mother. They became whores in Egypt, whores from a young age. Their breasts were fondled, their young bosoms caressed. The older sister was named Oholah, Oholah. The younger was Oholibah. They were daughters, and they gave birth to sons and daughters.
Amen.
So we're talking about virgin births, and we can see these were not. This one, Ezekiel is telling us that they were whores from a young age.
Right.
Right?
But then...
So definitely no savior could come through that lineage.
Yeah.
Huh?
When you read four, and mine said when you got to sons and daughters, and it said, I am speaking of Samaria and Jerusalem. For Oholah is Samaria, and Oholah is
Oholibah.
Okay, so now that sounds a little more better. So he was talking about those two countries that became prostitutes in Egypt.
Right. And
wow.
So what is the significance of calling these two countries prostitutes?
Because they were worshiping those idols.
All right. All right. And I'll just read a little bit more. This is quite interesting, but
because we didn't. We only had 15 seconds before the time ran out, and we didn't.
Oh no!
I didn't realize the time. See, now the time is going by so fast when you're having when you're enjoying yourself.
Okay, so I won't go into that. But God willing, we can get back to it next week if possible.
Okay, because this is so good.
All right. So you want to take us home?
You know, in my mind, I was thinking that it was, you know, the two women, sisters that he was talking about. But he put it in, it's two countries, but he put it in the form of women.
Two women.
Yeah, why do they always do that to us? They always put...
Well, to make it interesting for one. To make it interesting.
Yes, true.
Make you want to read it.
Exactly. Because then when I got to the house, wait a minute. He's not talking about women. He's talking about and what is the other one? Samaria.
Samaria.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Wow. And you know what? We must have read this chapter before because I got a check mark right at 20. Yeah.
Yep.
When we was doing talk through the Bible. Yes.
Right. No, and I might not have been with you when you guys read that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I was with you.
No, I don't think so.
What was that? That was Ezekiel.
Yes.
I think I was with you, but I don't know. But anyway,
chapter 23. So,
yeah, I see, but I'm saying I don't remember reading that with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was, you know, with you as you were reading to that point. Whatever. You want to take us out in prayer?
Okay. Praise be to God. Father God, once again, we come as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for all that was said tonight, Lord God. We thank you for our teacher to open up our minds and ears and heart to receive and increase. And Lord God, we just thank you for life. We thank you for the beautiful weather we had today. We even thank you for the cold. Thank you,
my Lord.
Life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for food on our tables, clothes on our backs. We thank you again, Lord God, for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. We thank you for all of our sisters and brothers in Christ and those who are not but one day must say, what must I do to be saved? Lord God, we thank you for our president and vice presidents. Bless them, Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Guide them in the way that you
would have them to go, Lord God. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Let it be all about you and not about us. And we ask all these blessings. And Lord God, I ask that you touch our pastor, Apostle R.D. Wiggins, as he goes tomorrow for his appointment about his shoulder, Lord God, his arm. And we ask that the news will be good news, Lord God. Just bless both of them, Lord God. Heal both of them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. Continue to guide them in the way that you would have them to go. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
God, Lord, I just want to ask you, Lord, yes. I just want to ask you to look after Jeff, Paul, Janiga, who underwent surgery today to remove cancer from his chest, later on to undergo another surgery. But I pray that his surgery was successful and that it will not spread, it will not metastasize. And God, yes. We just can't thank you enough. Cover him, keep him, love him, yes, Father God. Heal him in the precious name of Jesus. God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Val, I can't talk now. I got to take the baby to.
Yes. He just called me, too. I have to take the. I'll call her back now when we finish.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you so much. Huh?
Yeah, but. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So you was on the house phone?
Yeah, I was on the house phone.
Yeah. But you have to make sure the phone is on the base to charge it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Don't
Yeah, I know what's gonna do that.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
I'll be here next Tuesday night.
All right. We're looking forward to having you with us. You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Love
I'm
you too.
I'm gonna call her. Tell her I'm gonna call her. Please answer the phone.
Honey, she hang up so fast. She don't give you a chance to finish your sentence. All right. Hugs and kisses. Love you.
Love
and
you.
Have a
hugs
wonderful
and kisses.
Rest of the week.
Thank you. You too. God willing, see you soon.
Yes. On Sunday, we won't see each other again until Sunday.
Yes, God willing.
Yes, that's why I say have a blessed rest of the week.
I got you.
Okay. Yeah, this
hugs
one
and kisses and blessings.
Huh?
Hugs, kisses, and blessings.
Thank you, and I receive each and every one of them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Good night. So welcome. Shalom.
Shalom. Good night.